of many of the churches in Rome. And as would be expected, it was an all-day tour. And they visited many different churches. And early on in the morning, they went to a church where the guide pointed out that they had the skull, the head of John the Baptist. And everybody sort of, ooh, went on. But later on in the afternoon, one of the last churches they visited, the guide pointed out that this church had the skull of John the Baptist. And people got ooh and ah. But the man, remember the first one, wait a minute. You said that other church had the head of John the Baptist. To which the guide responded without missing a beat. He said, oh no, this is the head of John the Baptist as a teenager. Well, there is some truth to that. In that, yes, there are many relics claimed by the church. And to be honest, the people may have taken some liberties in finding the relics they found. We used to have a professor in seminary, Father Aurelius. He said if you took all the pieces of the Holy Cross from the various relics and put them together, the cross would have been 10 stories high. And so, yes, there's been some liberties in choosing the relics, but the relics serve an important role to us. They make us feel connected. They have give us a piece of what's holy. And so the relics are very important to us. Also, the relics, just in business terms, they're big money. If you have a key relic, people will come from all over. Missionaries would come, pilgrims would come from all over the world to go to various churches because they had a particular relic. And so they play not only a role in our faith, but also a role financially. And so there are claims to relics that may not have been. But as Father Aurelius said, if it's not, it should be. So anyway, I bring that, I'll come back to that. Just before I celebrated Mass last night, however, there was a woman who came in and she approached me. She said that she went to one of her friends who was also Catholic and asked her if she was coming to Mass. And her response was, no, we don't believe that. Don't believe what? Don't believe that Mary was assumed into heaven, body and soul. And the person talking to me was taken aback, and understandably so. And as I assured her, yes, we do believe that. And I assured her that that woman, her friend, doesn't know church teaching. It has been declared infallibly in 1950 that, yes, Mary was assumed body and soul into heaven. And it's not a point of dispute. We can't not believe that and still be Catholic. And so it's essential to our faith. But I also point out that woman also didn't know church history and she didn't know people. For instance, going back to these relics, there is a cathedral in France named Chartres. It's a gorgeous cathedral. It dates back to the 9th century. And its claim to fame, it's one of the most beautiful of churches, but also its claim to fame is to have the shroud of Mary. That's their relic. That shroud that Mary's body was wrapped in has no bones. They don't make a claim to have any of Mary's relics. They're only a secondary relic. And none of the churches claim throughout history to have a relic of Mary, because people would know it was a farce. They know it was fake, because the church has always believed and understood that Mary was assumed body and soul. And so any relic that was claimed to be part of Mary would be fake. There'd be good money in if people believed it, but we know it to not be true. And so people have never claimed to have Mary's relics. And so, it once again reasserts that when Pius XII proclaimed it infallible in 1950, all he did was clarify what the church had always taught, that Mary, body and soul, has been assumed into heaven. And that's important and key to us, because that means that we too are called home. You see, outside of Mary, it's just Christ, who was fully human, but also fully God. And while he ascended body and soul into heaven, Mary's the first one who was not God, who was also assumed. And so that's good news for us. Now that said, St. Susanna's has started school. He started school last Thursday, a week ago. And what I've noticed every day, and fortunately it's getting lighter and lighter, there's a lot of crying, a lot of tears. Mostly preschool and kindergarten, some fifth graders, but mostly the little kids. And I understand it's hard, because this is the first time for many of them that they're away from their mom. And they just have meltdowns. And they don't know what to do without their mom. And it's sad, but it speaks to us, because all of us know what it's like to miss our moms and to want that assurance and to want to be with her. But at the same time, it reminds us, well, today we celebrate Mary going home, our mother. And why is it not sad for us? Because we know she's not really gone. Even though she's not here body and soul, and we can't claim relics or anything else to try to claim a piece of her, we know she's still with us, and we actually know she's with us even more. Because she's with her Son and with our Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit in heaven, she actually brings us closer to them. She comes back to us. We have many apparitions where Mary comes back and visits us. But also, even when she's not, we know she's praying for us. We know she's praying to bring us home with her. And because we know she's fully with our God, that we are closer to God too. And today, we give thanks. We rejoice with Mary that she is now truly home. We also give thanks, but because of that, that we too are closer to God also. And for that, we give thanks. Let us profess our faith. I believe in one God, Father the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. I look forward to the resurrection and death, and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us turn to our Heavenly Father in our need. We pray for our church, that Mary may indeed watch over her and guide her, that she may truly be Christ's presence on earth and be one with him in heaven. We pray to the Lord. We pray for our government leaders, that they may truly seek to serve as they have been called and defend all, especially the most vulnerable. We pray to the Lord. And we pray for ourselves. We pray in thanksgiving for our mothers and for all who have loved us. In thanksgiving for the great mother of all in Mary, we pray to the Lord. And for what else shall we pray?
For the needs of all those who face shelter, patients, and their fair trade, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the needs of abortion throughout the world, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For
For all the gun violence and homicide come to an end, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for all who are sick and hurting. We pray especially for those who have gone before us in Christ and for all who mourn their loss. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our
prayer. Almighty and loving God, we trust that you hear our prayers. We ask that you grant we find good in them. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.